93.3 KMBA. New music from Julie Holland and Samantha Parton in there, The Last, from their soon-to-be-released album Wildflower Blues, to the original founding members of the Be Good Tonya's back in collaboration after more than a decade. Dropkick Murphys and The Boss back there, Peg of My Heart, Greencastle Blues, some nice, fun, live Todd Snyder, and If We Were Vampires, the latest from Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. It's 8:25, and thanks so much for tuning in this morning. It is the Morning Line program. I'm Danny Preston.
And I'm Frank Chithlick, and we certainly love to keep people in tune with our community, so we've got a lot going on today. We've heard a lot about what's at stage at the gathering place at the State Fair, but first, we'll check in with Aaron Marburger of the Anchorage Museum about the Science Passport Program.
Okay, thanks very much. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Morning Line program.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And your title is Curator of Science and Innovation at the Anchorage Museum. So what exactly are you curating these days?
Lots of wonderful science programs. The one I'm most excited about is our new Science Passport Program. It includes a passport that families can pick up at the museum that can help guide them through learning experiences throughout the museum and really highlight all the wonderful science that we have there.
So is it like a regular, a regular airline passport or whatever? You get it stamped and with all the different countries or?
Yeah, exactly. We kind of designed it after the Norway passport. It's pretty spiffy looking, and it has a place in the back where you can create your own profile similar to a passport, and then it highlights different spaces in the museum. And as you kind of use your scientific skills of observation, exploring and asking questions and experimenting and testing out ideas, you get stamps in each of those places. So we've got the Exploration Station, the Discovery Center, Spark Lab, the Smithsonian Arctic Study Center. There's lots of really great things in the Thomas Planetarium as well.
So you're going to be, this is for people who are probably going to be making multiple visits to the museum.
That's correct. You need to come a minimum of 3 times to get your passport all filled out. So you can get more than one stamp in a day, but you can't get multiple stamps in an individual section in one day. So you need to come at least 3 times.
Okay. So mark your calendars to be there at least 3 times by, is there an end date?
Yes. So we are looking to have some exclusive passport holder programs. And so our first one's coming up October 15th. So we will have kind of a deadline, like the first week of October, to finish that passport to attend that workshop. And then we'll have an additional workshop in November as well if you can't make the October one. And so when you sign up for your passport, you give us your email, so we're able to email you out information about these upcoming workshops and deadlines as well.
Okay. So all these different stations, they're like going to all the different nations, getting your passport stamped. The Discovery Center, Exploration Station, Spark Lab, Smithsonian Arctic Studies Center, Thomas Planetarium. What sorts of things are we going to be experiencing as we go to these stations and get our passport stamped?
Yes, that's a great question. So each one has a different way to highlight. So like the Discovery Center is a little bit more self-exploration focused. You can find a particular hands-on exhibit that speaks to you and then use your skills as a scientist or to kind of observe and ask questions about what is being shown or explored there. So you can look at our tsunami tank and kind of ask yourself what's happening and what kind of forces are being exerted to have that happen. And then Spark Lab, we have lots of hands-on innovative activities that you can try and test and experiment. And then our Exploration Station, we have science labs daily that look at science topics that are really wonderful to explore. And I really want to highlight the Thomas Planetarium as well. It's a really wonderful opportunity, and your passport gives you a free ticket, you, your passport holder, and a guardian to attend a show, which is really exciting.
I love planetarium.
Me too.
So you take the book around, you get them all stamped, and okay, is this, I mean, let's just be frank between you and me, forget that there are thousands of people listening right now, but I mean, is this geared towards nerds?
Yes, which is great because being a nerd's awesome.
Which is good. Okay.
Yeah, it's really a way to kind of.
I wasn't not the answer I was expecting, but I love it.
Yeah, I'm a nerd. yeah, it's really kind of for you to really kind of look and explore things that really interest you. So it's not. It doesn't have to be one specific thing in the Discovery Center. You can kind of tailor it to your interests or what kind of makes you a nerd. So that's fun.
Okay. Now, is this just for young people or for entire families? Or
I think it's a great family experience, certainly a way to engage the entire family in looking throughout the museum and seeing all the science that we have there. And it's a great opportunity to work through some of these science skills, such as observation and asking really thoughtful, curious questions together.
So coercive, fun learning. Can I describe some of the stuff in the passport? Will that be giving things away too much?
No.
Okay, because it's a pretty groovy stuff here. First, on the inside back cover, there's a place where you put your name, and you would. And plus, instead of your picture, there's a little space by your name. Use this space to draw your passport portrait, which is nice. And then a little place to fill out why you love science.
Yeah.
And research interests. A question you have that science can help answer. And then as you go to the different stations, just for example, I won't go through them all because they're probably similar, but the Discovery Center. So the Discovery Center galleries are places to learn about the science that shapes our northern landscape through interactive exhibits. And then there's a big space here that says observe, write or draw a detail you noticed while exploring an exhibit in the Discovery Center. Next page. There's a place for you to write down, ask, write, or draw a question you had or asked while in the Discovery Center, and then experiment, write, or draw something you tried in the Discovery Center. And so there's kind of similar sections for each of the stops, each of the stations. And when it says write or draw something you tried in the Discovery Center, obviously there are some interactive things going on there.
Yes, we have lots of interactive things. We've got a liquefaction table to see what happens during that process. Like I said, we have a tsunami tank. We also have a Lego ramp. We have a marine tank you can explore and look at the intertidal creatures in there as well.
Tell me about science and a Lego ramp.
Science and the Lego ramp is really cool. So building in that iterative process, Legos are fun and scientific. So kind of designing something that's going to kind of launch the way you want it on the Lego ramp or move the way you want it. And then that testing process, that experimenting and iterative process is really important in that part. So it's a lot of fun.
A lot of times we don't think about how important the experiential component is in learning and really getting people excited about it. I mean, you can watch somebody do something and then I can hear, you know, my children when they were younger, I'm bored. But if you get to actually do it,
yeah,
it becomes a lot of fun.
Yeah, that hands-on aspect is really engaging. And then really thinking through, like, why didn't it fly the way I thought it was going to fly? And why did it crash into a billion pieces? And how can I make it stronger or go faster or higher? Those are all really, that's science right there. And so it's doing it through creative play, which I love about the Discovery Center and all the science that's at the Anchorage Museum.
Okay, creative play and creative thinking,
yes,
all going together there?
Yeah.
Breeding future scientists to take care of our little planet, hopefully.
Hopefully, yes, bringing out the scientist in all of us.
So what's the payoff? What's the culmination here? I'm all stoked, and I'm going to go at least 3 times. I'm going to go to every station. I'm going to get my passport stamped, and then what happens?
Well, things throughout that whole process, but the really big exciting part is these workshops that are exclusive for passport holders. So we'll get a special private tour of the Discovery Center, and then we'll do this science workshop that will help build on those skills that you've kind of developed while exploring the museum and go a little bit more in depth and really kind of create some tools for your science toolkit. And we're looking at designing that workshop right now to kind of tie into some of our upcoming fall exhibitions and new things in the museum. So it's currently in the design process, but they should be very exciting. And those, like I said earlier, there's 2 of them, one Sunday, October 15th, and one Saturday, November 18th.
Okay. Sounds like a tremendous amount of fun and a tremendous reason to get the family out and get those little synaptic nerves and things firing.
Yes.
Great. The Anchorage Museum is the Science Passport. Erin Marbarger is the curator of science and innovation at the Anchorage Museum, and I know it's sort of in the dynamic development phase at this point, so there's not a whole lot on the web yet on your website about the Science Passport program. If people want to find out more, what should they do? So just stop by the museum, or can they call?
Yes, they can call, but I'd say stop by the museum, and the best people to talk to are the Discovery Center staff and the Spark Lab staff. We have our passports and are help happy to help you kind of answer any questions and go through the process with you so you make sure you understand it all.
Okay, tremendous fun. And as we wrap up, anything else we're forgetting or you'd like to add?
Just come by the Anchorage Museum and kind of develop those science skills. I'm excited to meet you all.
Okay, exciting stuff. Erin, thanks so much for joining us today on Morning Line.
Thank you so much.
Very welcome. And Frank, you've got something coming up in just a minute.
I sure do. You know, one of the favorite things that I've seen at the Anchorage Museum is various exhibits that the Smithsonian Arctic Science Studies Center, as well as some of the cultural exhibits. And one of the folks that have been highlighted there is the rapper Akumatu, also known as Alice Warden. Mm-hmm. And, that's kind of a good tie-in here. She's performing at the State Fair this coming Friday at 1 and 5 o'clock. I had a chance to talk to the State Fair gathering place, the gathering place Den of People stage manager or director, Amy Spark, and about different things happening as well as opportunities that folks like Allison have had at the stage.
Okay, and we will hear about that next. It's 8:35.
Grammy winner Melissa Etheridge became one of the most popular recording artists of the 90s with her confessional lyrics, raspy voice, and exuberant guitar playing. Don't miss this rare chance to see the arena-level rock star in her band in an intimate venue. Catch soulful songs from legendary live performer Melissa Etheridge, September 14th and 15th at the Atwood Concert Hall. Presented by the Anchorage Concert Association. Tickets available at CenterTix and AnchorageConcerts.org.
The debate over the value of blood quantum has challenged both tribes and individuals. This month, we turn to an anthology that examines the many layers. It's titled The Great Vanishing Act, Blood Quantum, and the Future of Native Nations. Join us for the next Native America Calling as we learn more about this book.
Native America Calling is heard weekday mornings at 9 on KMBA, Alaska's Native Voice.
Hi, Frank. The Gathering Place is a place at the Alaska State Fair that is specifically an attraction to share Alaska Native arts and culture. And this year, it's my first time managing this space, and I'm glad to do it and proud to do it.
So I've heard a little bit about the acts and the bands, you know, Irene Bedard and Akumatu and AK Rebel. What's the motivation to gather all these great Alaska Native bands together?
Well, we want to showcase not only what is our ancient traditions. We have songs that go back for hundreds of years. Sometimes they're with just one family. We want to share all of that ancient knowledge and to show that we are a civilization that thrived in the land that only we could. So we're still here, and we're here to share that, but it's really neat to also incorporate and include contemporary acts and performances to show that we're just as current and involved in today's American society as anyone else. We can be just as educated and savvy and urbane and still choose to practice and honor our heritage and history.
You know, that really resonates with me because I really think that what I've seen before is people do think, oh, geez, that's not in a museum exhibition, but we do evolve and change and grow.
Exactly. Yeah. How does an ancient civilization survive? You adapt. You have to be the one willing to accept what you have as your resources and accommodate where you live for the betterment of your people. And that's ancient teaching, native teaching, not only in Alaska, but throughout Turtle Island, what I've learned, what we call Lower 48 Native tribes call all of North America, Turtle Island, and they have the very same values as us.
And so with the different groups going on stage, would you give us a sample or a rundown of who you've seen coming up?
Well, I'll say who we had, and then I'll say who's coming up. We've had Miss Alaska, Alyssa London. She is Tlingit, and she is Miss Alaska USA. We're so proud to have her, and she's able to share that as a young girl, proud of her Tlingit culture, who was also interested in Miss USA and pageants, she told herself, why not me? And she believed in herself, and she did it, and she made it all the way to the top 10 finalists of Miss USA, the Miss USA pageant, and that's the first time in over 30 years that Miss Alaska was able to place that high. So, it's amazing to say, but Miss Alaska trended on Twitter. She absolutely stunned and wowed people with her killer whale gown that that she was able to wear. Her cape was sequined in the fashion of the orca, because that is her moiety, and she was able to wear that, and she was able to take her robe off on stage and reveal her gown, which was still sequined with her Formline design, which she co-designed with another Tlingit designer, and she was able to exalt and raise her culture on a platform that we don't normally typically have. And as far as she knew, she had an audience watching of over 3 million people. So
3 million. Wow.
Yeah. Tuned into Miss USA. And because Miss Alaska was so dramatic and impressive, she trended on Twitter. It was really a wonder for Alaskans, not only in Alaska, but all throughout the states and the country. We were all watching.
And so
Alaska, yeah.
So she came on the stage, and she's been part of the Gathering Place stage this year. How else are we looking forward to this coming weekend?
Oh, we were so happy to feature our Native Games youth. They were able to do NYO Alaska Games, and we had the WIA World Eskimo Indian Olympics youth people able to do some games, including the blanket toss. Those were big hits and drew a big crowd. Then we've had like Yugapik dancers or Yupik dancers, and the Imamsuat dancers, Ungangak dancers. We've had storytellers. And I'll say from here on out, we still have like Northern Lights dancers from the north. We have youth dancers from the Alaska Native Heritage Center, Gingik Mute dancers, who primarily came from King Island region. And we have some Dena dancers from this area, Ida Ina Kuj Keljesna. And we have more blanket toss and wheel demonstrations. And we have some big names that are coming up. We're bringing Akumatu back and Samuel John, AK Rebel. And we're also bringing Eskimo Ninja Warrior Nick Hansen to demonstrate what he was able to do on the NBC show American Ninja Warrior, of which he is a finalist. So he has raised a platform for natives, Alaska natives in the country, in a way that's so unique. And people are tuning in to him on YouTube, following his success, because they are so interested in a young man in Umalakleet who told himself the same thing: I can do that. And he did it. He built his own obstacle course in Umalakleet with plywood and driftwood and what he had on hand in Umalakleet, and he made himself a American Ninja Warrior champion. So we're featuring him on Saturday. Is his first day with us at the Gathering Place. And then also Saturday evening, we have Martin Sensmeyer. He's a young man. He's a Tlingit actor. His family's from Yakutat and Kwikon. So we have a young man who's also got a very high profile. He was in the Magnificent Seven movie, and he was just in the movie release called Wind River. And then we have some more cultural dances, and then we have a full setup on Sunday, September 3rd, called Alaska Native Culture Day. it's a theme of the fair that they name one day a theme, and Sunday, September 3rd is Alaska Native Culture Day.
So from film stars and athletes with national recognition and Miss Alaska and then some great musical acts. Sounds like there's a lot going on out there at the gathering place at the fair. Any particular things that you should, well, any kind of like nuts and bolts of it that we should know about? Like if you haven't been to the fair recently, any ideas on how to park and all that good stuff?
Yes, it's always always an interesting effort to come to the fair. Yellow parking will end up being the best parking for our fairgoers because the gathering place is right next to the yellow trail. So it ends up being the best parking area, which is called general parking anyway. So yellow parking gate, that's where you want to go, and we are right at the parking gate.
Kind of the express route to the gathering place.
To the gathering place, correct, yeah.
And so with all these kind of, how long has the gathering place been kind of coming together? I heard this is the second year, is that right?
It may be the second year with a actual fixed area and a fixed stage. We've had a lot of generous sponsors, Rasmussen Foundation for one, to try and help develop and maintain a permanent attraction, a permanent space for the gathering place. It used to be called Raven's People, and it was not a fixed place, and it tended to move in different areas where they might have found some space. But because of interest and a good intention to honor Alaska Native people, the fair agreed and did a cooperative development to settle an actual space for the gathering place at the Alaska State Fair.
And so where do we go from in the future with this this sort of effort?
Well, we hope it can only get bigger and better. It's exciting now, with acts like Akumatu, who's on stage right now. You might even be able to hear her, and Irene Bedard, who just wrapped up some performances today, and Miss Alaska is coming back. We have Nick Hansen coming back. We have Martin Sensmeyer coming to visit, and we also have some performances that where people travel to come here, like Spirit is a very interesting ensemble where people travel from as far as, I believe, Seattle, and they share a it's like a modern take on Native dance through the country, and they incorporate it into almost like a ballet, or a Broadway performance, and it's a really interesting incorporation of all of our cultures in a show at the gathering place. So we're honored to have that. And Bamya, of course, is always a crowd favorite, and they're coming Friday and Saturday.
So if you're just joining us, we've been talking with Amy Spark, the director of the Gathering Place at the Alaska State Fair. Anything else you'd like to add today?
It's just a place to be proud and happy and of your culture, and it helps youth in particular see and feel positivity, to see an actual place that is dedicated and permanent at the Alaska State Fair to recognize and honor Alaska Native people. And not only do we feature talent and arts on the stage, as well as bands and Yupik, Nupak, Tlingit, Haida, Tsimshian dance or Athabaskan dance, we also have a whole array of cabins where artists from all around the state, they're able to sell their handcrafted native art at the Alaska State Fair, and it's a way to support them as well.
Wow, that sounds like a reason to head out to Palmer.
It's a great reason to come to Palmer. not only are we recognizing and celebrating Alaska Native culture, you are visiting Dena'ina land. This is traditional Dena people's land, and this is where your heart should honor and feel being Native and still being strong in Alaska and recognized at the Alaska State Fair.
It doesn't get any better than that. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
So the State Fair continues in Palmer through September 4th.
All right, Frank, thanks very much. 10 minutes ahead of 9 o'clock and the beginning of a three-hour block of Native programs with National Native News and Native America Calling and new music from Mike Gordon next.
Our guests next time on the World Cafe, Tank and the Bangas, beat out thousands of bands to win this year's Tiny Desk Contest at NPR Music. Millions have seen the resulting Tiny Desk concert that they played, and now comes their World Cafe session. Be here next time for New Orleans, Tank and the Bangas, live on the World Cafe.
The World Cafe, weeknights at 6 o'clock on 90.3 KMBA. Music matters.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Step outside the edge of slide like the day when I first met you. Hover above so far away, my feet like tiny specks. Kids skate around me, the whistling sky reminds me to not forget you. No one sees me glide in the breeze like Bucky runs downstairs. How do you walk downstairs?